Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Culp, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning, Megan Culp.
Good morning.
It's Friday. Doesn't feel like Friday, but yet it is.
It doesn't feel like Friday.
Right?
But it is.
Here we are.
Yes.
Good to see you, as always.
As always.
This is our Solutions from the Street program, everyone, when we identify a problem in the community and look for unique and innovative solutions to that problem.
Yes.
And this week is no different.
This week is no different. And this week, we're tackling the problem of substance abuse and mental health.
Right.
So,
and we have two guests with us in studio,
and
we'll hear from a third
remote.
One later.
I know.
Yeah. How about
it's
that?
It's exciting.
A full house.
Full house here.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. So let me introduce our guests who are joining us this morning. Krista Lawrence is here. She is with the 11th Judicial District, the problem-solving director with the court system. Good morning, and thank you for coming in. It's good to see you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
You bet. Also, Joyce Vaughn is here with the Family Empowerment Project. And Joyce, it's great to see you back on the San Juan College campus. Good morning.
Thank you, Scott. Good morning.
Good to see you. Thank you both for joining us. And I should mention that Charity Norman is standing by on the phone to talk with us here towards the end of the program about a special fundraising event that's coming up. So stay tuned for that, everybody. And so, but let's get started. You want to get us started, Megan?
I do want to get us started.
Okay.
Well,
I figured you would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have a lot of things that are maybe unfamiliar to people. So one thing that might be unfamiliar is what the 11th Judicial Court System does, right? And then we'll segue into what the Family Empowerment Program is. So, Krista, why don't we start with you? Can you tell us a bit more about the 11th Judicial Court?
Okay. So I can talk about what I do for the 11th
sure.
Judicial District Court.
Perfect.
So I am the Division Director for Problem Solving Court Programs. That includes an adult mental health court, an adult drug court, DWI court. We also have a juvenile drug court, a juvenile grade court, and I also am over the pretrial services program. So there's a wide range. The courts are...
It sounds like you should be like three people.
Right?
From all that,
yeah.
that you just mentioned.
That's a lot.
But, okay.
I have a lot of people that help me out with this.
Okay.
So I can't take full full credit for that. But the problem-solving courts are post-adjudicated intensive outpatient treatment programs for individuals that, had they been sentenced to regular probation because of their mental illness or substance abuse issues, they probably wouldn't be very successful on that. So we offer intensive treatment in hopes that we give them the skills and the tools that they need to get them out of the system and never have to deal with somebody like us again.
Okay.
That's great.
And so this sounds like very non-traditional approaches then to adjudication of these things and things that maybe people are maybe used to from, I don't know, media, television, things like that. But this is very, very new and different, correct?
Very much so. Actually, drug courts have been around for a long, long time.
Okay.
And we have had problem-solving courts, an adult drug court, since 1997. So we probably just didn't do a very good job of like letting people know what we do. The goal for us is to, we don't want people to stay in the system. And the movement in criminal justice is that individuals with severe mental illness or substance abuse issues, really and truly, they would best be served somewhere other than jail or with, on probation. So, I mean, our goal even though it probably isn't what you see on, Facebook or anything else, our goal is to assist people and help people. And we're very committed to that through the treatment. And it's at no cost to the individuals that receive treatment through our programs.
Right. And is this something unique to our state of New Mexico, or is it something that's being done in other states as well, these types of programs?
Problem-solving courts, the actual drug court model is international.
Okay.
And we have several drug courts in our state, too. People hear drug court, but there's so many other. There's veterans courts, there's young adult courts. So there's a bunch of different court programs. But in San Juan County, we have the DWI drug court and mental health court, as well as our juvenile drug court program.
Got you. Okay. And so what we're talking about today has kind of grown from this approach, correct?
Yes, very much so. So the court is wanting to what can we do better? What can we do? You know, things are changing all the time. And what can we do as a court and as a community to address the needs of these individuals as well as their families? We don't end up there by ourselves. Individuals don't end up in the system by themselves. So what can we do as a community to try to address those needs as a whole? Because, you know, when you're in it, it's very difficult to see your way out of that.
So can you give us like one scenario of the like the type of individuals that would maybe end up in drug court?
Sure. So drug courts are intended to provide services to high risk, high needs individuals that have a substance use diagnosis or a mental health diagnosis that are in need of a level two treatment. And I know that that's probably like a lot of words that people don't really know or care about, but basically these individuals are at high risk of continuing on in the system, and they're at high needs in the way that they have that substance use diagnosis or mental health diagnosis. They come into the court system with a criminal offense. So either if it's at the district court, it's a felony level criminal offense. The judges will ask that we assess that individual for services to see if they meet that needs. We do not want to provide services to individuals that do not meet high risk, high needs. If you provide intensive treatment to an individual that doesn't need that, you can actually cause more harm than good. So we are it's very important that we address the need and we are serving that individual. And then if they are appropriate, the judges will sentence them as a condition of probation to our program, adult drug court, mental health court, DWI court. And then we start providing services. It's intensive supervision. So, you know, and it's not just about, it's not punitive. It's about what can we do as a team. We meet every single week as a treatment team to see what we can do to try to help that individual through the program. We are not punitive in the way that we don't sanction people to jail. If somebody has a bump or they violate their probation, we may sanction them to community service, or we may suggest a therapeutic response to their violation by maybe you need to go journal, or maybe you need to increase your treatment. So through that, if somebody successfully completes our program, then ideally that individual is done with their probation term. It's a 12 to 18 month program.
I see. Interesting. And so, again, the judges have to be a partner in what we're talking about as well when they're maybe sentencing or considering other options for sentencing, things along that line too, correct?
Very much so. Our programs are fully supported by our district and magistrate court judges. We would not be here if we didn't have them. And not only are they supported by our judges, but they're also supported by our CEO with funding, our budget. I mean, we have a lot of individuals that we serve, and we would not be here without them, for sure.
Gotcha. Good to know. Great. Well, that brings us then to talk to Joyce Vaughn about her involvement here and the addition of this Family Empowerment Program, which is another kind of take on what you're talking about. We have the individual who's in trouble, who's gotten in trouble in some capacity, and this program is really based, as at least my understanding, to help the family of that individual and others around that individual, correct?
Correct. So what we have found is that it's not just about the person, and I think I said that a second ago. Our people, our clients, our participants do not end up in the system by themselves. And it's, unfortunately, sometimes it's a, you know, it's a family cycle that's very difficult to get out of. So in order for our people to be successful, we try to have, you know, we want to, it takes a village. So we want those people that are the loved ones a part of their treatment plan. And what we have found is it's very difficult for people to be successful if they have to go back home to either the same, you know, the same kind of behaviors or enabling family members. So we were approached by the administrative office of the courts and the Behavioral Health Services Division to partner with them to pilot a family empowerment project here. And it's part of the CRAFT model that was created by Dr. Myers at UNM. And so we have
the website ready to go. It's right there.
That's awesome.
There you
Wonderful.
Are. Yes, indeed.
Good. I don't have to like, you know, say all that. So we decided that we wanted to pilot that program here. And we had the best person that could help facilitate that, which is Joyce Vaughn, our contractor.
Very good. But created right here in New Mexico. You mentioned that, but I wanted to make sure everyone heard that this is from UNM, right? Some
yes,
research
it is.
And work done there.
Yes, it's evidence-based.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Well, that sounds like a great introduction for Joyce Vaughn to join the conversation this morning about your work with this Family Empowerment Project, Joyce Vaughn. How long have you been working with this?
I just started training, actually.
Okay.
As we all have.
But you've been working with the courts in a different capacity.
Yes, of course. I've worked with the court for about a year and a half. I'm a certified peer support worker. And I started with the courts just doing a Tuesday night meditation class for the clients. Because meditation and more holistic ways of living can definitely help with sobriety and mental health. So we did that for about a year. I totally enjoy these people so much. I enjoy what I do. I'm very blessed to do what I do. And then later I was approached to facilitate the alumni group. So I do that as well. And we do a pro-social once a month so that everybody within the program can get together and have time together and support each other and have some place to go and cultivate friendships and support in a sober way of living. And then the end of last year, Krista reached out and asked if I wanted to be a part of the Family Empowerment Project, and it was a definite yes. I think that our community can benefit by this program so much. It's definitely going to offer support for loved ones that have people in active addiction or in mental health. And our families need that so they can be better supportive to their family members and their loved ones. We will meet once a week for an hour, and we'll meet on Wednesdays from 6:30 to 7:30. There's a bit of a process, so if somebody's interested, they would call 505-599-9112. I would get in touch with them, and we would get together and talk a little bit about the Family Empowerment Project and how it works and what their expectations are. And then we talk a little bit more about where we're meeting and the format of that group, and then we'll just get started.
Okay.
And what is the format of that group?
It's going to be very based on what the group needs that day. There's 8 separate sections, and we, you know, obviously we're going to try to stay in that order, but if somebody comes in and they are in need of assistance, we're going to do that. That is going to be the direction. And then there are some books. There's a book called How to Get Your Loved One Sober. It's a wonderful book, and we'll recommend that people get that as well for an additional support of information. So I think we're going to have a structure, but foremost and utmost, our goal is going to be meeting those parents, people, friends, family, where they are.
Nice.
And these folks are coming from the court system to you, correct? And at least that's one avenue of how they get to you, right? Are there others that could come just from the community if they're dealing with a loved one, a family member, a friend who's has an addiction or a problem? Can they come to you without having to get the courts involved?
Yes, absolutely. This program is entirely opened up to our community. We will have probably some clients, families, and loved ones come to us, but we really want to get the word out to the community because this is for our community. And for those people that need the support, we want them to call that 505 number and get in touch with us.
And from the website, it talks a little bit about how it's unique and the different things that it's offering, and that it's based in Albuquerque, but the hope is to have these in-person sessions here in San Juan County, correct? That's why you're involved.
Yes, we will meet every Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30, and we are scheduled to start next week, so if anybody's interested and they get in touch, we would begin our first group Wednesday, 6:30.
Okay. Next week already?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yes.
Right. Okay, got it. Very good. Megan, anything else to add? I was going to ask something else to Krista here in a minute.
No.
Okay.
I think this sounds great.
Okay. I can do that. So, Krista, I wanted to ask you a little bit again, from the court standpoint, again, providing these services to the family members or the friends or the others really has got to have some basis in some of the data that helps the individual, right? When the family is helping and encouraging, that can help the individual to achieve some of their goals and things, whether it's probation or whatever they've been dealing with, correct?
Correct. So the goal is to stop the addictive behavior. And what we want the family members to help us do that, or the destructive behavior. So yes, it's part of the whole model. And the idea is if the family is engaged, then that individual will be more successful in their outpatient treatment program. And that behavior and that support will continue after they're off of probation or off the program with us. Our goal really and truly when somebody comes into our program is to look long term. It's not just about the here and now and, you know, keeping them there. It's about what can we do to support that individual so that when they get off of adult drug court or mental health court or whatever that is, that they have the support network in place, that they can continue to be active in their recovery and hopefully successful in whatever they want. It's individual. It's all of our programs are individually based. So we ask people when they come into our program, what are your goals out of this program? What do you want to accomplish? It could be, I want to see my children. I've lost contact with my children. I haven't been, you know, they're tired of my behavior. I want to be able to, you know, build a relationship with them. It could be, I want my own place to live. You know, I live with my mom and my dad. It's not the best place for me. So it's meeting people, like Joyce said, where they're at, whether it's the client and the participant or it's the family member that's there, and what we can do and how we can build off of that.
Got it. And I imagine in some cases, each case is unique and different, of course, but in some cases, maybe it's the family encouraging this negative behavior, and so they don't want to be around the family, but they want they have friends that are encouraging them to get help and this and that. And so it really has to be kind of individualized, does it not, to get those positive influencers around the individual?
Absolutely. And when I sat through a little bit of the training, I didn't have the opportunity to sit through the whole thing. But what really spoke to me was, I think sometimes family members are just so tired. They feel like they've tried everything, they've done everything. They're like, you know, they pulled every single tool out of their toolbox and it's just not working. And, you know, you start getting frustrated and angry. And when we get angry, unfortunately, I think, Phil, we lose sight of really what the goal is. So Joyce said it, you know, every single group that she's going to be doing is going to be asking people, you know, so how was your week? Well, you know, what do you, you know, what do you want to really talk about today? And then she'll be building in, you know, some of the tools that she's learned to help them through that.
Right. And Joyce, let me come back to you and ask you a little bit about your work already with some of these individuals. And I think maybe you have some unique insights into kind of what works, maybe what doesn't work for folks who are in this situation, because it is a little bit of a different situation, is it not, for someone incarcerated or what have you that's reaching out for help and getting support from outside their individual? What would you say?
Yeah, I think that...
I'm putting you on the spot, so
you,
I apologize.
You really are, Scott. Thank you.
I apologize.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I've missed you. I think everybody has their own story. They come from their own history. So you can't make this one size fits all. It's got to be very individualized, and we do have to meet that client where they're at and what they need. And it's challenging and rewarding when we can do that, when we can have a positive impact on somebody's life. That is amazing. And we have so many people that reach out and truly care and do this every day. It's important work, and our community needs this, not only those people that are struggling in addiction and with mental health, but the families, as we said. I'm very passionate about what I'm doing with this program, and I'm very hopeful for the peace of mind that we can bring to people, as well as bringing those families back together.
Sure. And from the training that you've been at so far, I know you're still going on, right? So it's still kind of evolving and you're still learning, but
I am.
What's been your biggest takeaway, I guess, so far from what you've been learning?
I think the biggest takeaway is that this is a very unique program. This is like nothing that's out there for families and friends of loved ones in addiction or mental health. It's very unique, but it's so simplistic in some ways that's the beauty of it. This is not going to be something super hard for the families and loved ones to take on. It's a change in the mentality, if you will, and it's a reset. As Krista said, like, families can be at the end of their rope. This is the knot at the end. We want to help, and we have a different way of doing it.
So for families maybe who have kind of maybe given up or written off their loved one, this may be an opportunity to one more chance, one more attempt, and it has some data to back up what we're talking about this morning.
Yes, and, you know, the goal is obviously for the person that is struggling. But our goal in the Family Empowerment Project is also to hopefully bring back a level of peace into the person's life that's dealing with that, some peace and calm. So it is focused on those individuals as well as what their health needs are, is about what their emotional needs are during this process. So it really is focused on the loved one of that person as well, with very individualized treatment for them and advice and the process of how to do that.
Right. Understood. And Krista Lawrence, do you see a time when you may have so many folks involved with this program, you would need a second Joyce Vaughn to take on the caseload that that this may produce? I don't know.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we don't want to ever turn anybody away. So we're open to increasing the number of groups if we need. There is a limit to how many people can be in there per group, just because you want to be able to allow every single individual there to have a voice and be able to participate in the group. And if you get too many people there, then some people may not want to. So yes, we are willing and able to increase the number of groups if needed.
Great. Very, very good. That's excellent to know. Megan, I'm going to give you a chance to get a word in edgewise here if you've been waiting. I don't know. Are you good?
I have not been waiting, because
okay.
These ladies are taking, I mean.
You're learning right along with the rest of us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have some good insight or something,
or
a little anecdote
sometimes
that you want to share.
Sometimes you have some good insight and anecdotes, but
many
today
times.
You don't.
That's not what I said.
You know what? So
today
like,
you don't.
I do want to add one thing that
yes.
I think that was really, that spoke a lot to me about the Family Empowerment Program, is that it's based on natural consequences and unintentional enabling, but at the same time, it's about still having a relationship with that person that's in active, that's actively using. So a lot of family members, I think, you know, we get to that point where like, you know what, we're going to put up those boundaries and we'll just stop having contact with them. And it's to be able to continue to have a relationship with that individual, because I know as a parent, it would be very difficult if I had a child that was struggling with this to just say, don't want to see you again until you're not using. You still can continue to have a relationship with that person, which I think above all else is the most important part.
That is a great point. And really an important, insightful point, I think, for parents who have gone through this, maybe to just, you know, the tough love type of thing, right?
Yeah.
I love you, but I can't keep putting up with this, but we need to find something that works.
Yes,
and
exactly.
That's where we are. So very good. Well, I want to thank you all for coming in this morning, but I don't want to end the program before we talk to Charity Norman, who's been waiting very patiently on hold this morning to talk with us a little bit about an upcoming event. Charity, you can still hear us okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And so you are also part of the 11th Judicial District and program manager, and you are involved with the upcoming Masquerade Ball. So can you talk to us a little bit about that event, please?
Yes, thank you for the opportunity.
You bet.
So the Mental Health Task Force is looking for partners to help host the fourth annual pro-social event for mental health wellness. The plan is to host a Masquerade Ball at the Farmington Civic Center. It's to take the stigma off of mental health. So it will be June 9th at 6 to 9 p.m., and it will include dinner, an opportunity to get dressed up, go dancing, take some pictures, and just in general, have a lot of fun. The reason that the Mental Health Task Force believes in hosting the pro-social event is because studies have been conducted that show positive social support can have a powerful impact on many aspects of wellness, including reducing the risk of loneliness, substance abuse, and depression. So you can be a sponsor, or you can just support the event by purchasing tickets and showing up. The tickets will be $40 per couple and $25 for individuals. And Scott and Megan, you know, I'm going to throw you right out there. We'd love to see you there as well. If you would like additional information about the pro-social, you can telephone in at 505-419-8939 for Gretchen Potter, and she'd be glad to answer any of your questions.
All right.
Great. And you guys did this over COVID, because I was involved then. So I remember this, doing a COVID live stream.
Yes. And that was so much fun. But this year we get to dress up, make the mask, show up and be in person. So, and you know, we get to eat dinner. That makes a difference, too. Everyone likes to eat something yummy.
Yes.
No kidding.
Especially me.
And me.
And Scott.
I was going to say, I haven't missed a meal. Look at me.
Look at you.
So that's true. So very good. Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Charity, for joining us. And why don't we have you repeat that phone number one more time, if you wouldn't mind, if folks would like to get more information or buy a ticket or become a sponsor. You're still looking for sponsors as well, right?
Yes, that's correct. Thank you so much, Scott. So it's going to be 505-419-8939. And her name is Gretchen Potter.
Okay. Very, very good. Well, thank you very much, Charity, for joining us and waiting on the phone for us to the end of the program. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
You are very welcome. And again, that brings us to the end of the program, but great information from both of you for coming in and talking with us a little bit about this really important addition, I think, to the services here in San Juan County, this Family Empowerment Project. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Scott.
Really appreciate it.
You bet. You're very welcome. Thank you both very, very much. And Megan, call up. There we are.
There we are.
Another great solution, I think,
it's
right?
It's a great solution.
How about that?
I learned so much.
Right?
Super excited that this exists.
Exactly.
To help a lot of people.
Right.
We know that mental health and addiction, substance abuse disorders are not the fault of the individual. And so it's very exciting to have folks that recognize that from a court level.
Right.
Yeah.
Very true. And that the family needs resources
and
as well
needs some
and
resources.
Support.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad to be able to publicize that to our audiences. So we're glad that you both were here today. Tomorrow, you've got a show.
I've got a show.
You've got a show.
I've got a music show.
Yep. Okay.
it's called Radio Free Saturday Morning. It's 9 to 11 a.m. And the theme tomorrow is, and I can't believe I remember this.
I can't either, but I'm
proud
of you.
I never remember. It's political songs.
Oh, wow.
So
you're going to step in it, huh?
I'm going to step right in it.
Okay.
But, you know, a lot of them
equal time, I hope.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to get sued.
Equal time to everybody gets slammed on this show.
All right.
No, we cover a lot of different decades.
Equal opportunity.
Yeah, equal opportunity. There's actually a lot of, like, anti-Vietnam songs. I mean, we're talking about sort of popular music.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So, but yeah, all different genres, all different decades.
Okay.
Some great lyrics. So
perfect.
That's the theme for tomorrow. And then you have to stick around for the theme for the following week. So
yeah. All right. Well, we'll check it out. But next week, you and I will be back again for our That's Interesting program every other Friday,
where listeners can call in and tell us what's interesting in their world.
It's kind of a free form call-in show.
It's a free for all.
That's true. So we invite you to tune us in next Friday at 8 o'clock for That's Interesting. And get out your phone and call in and let us know what's going on.
Right.
There you are. So, very good. Well, until then, everybody, I think we are wrapping it up for today. So, again, we thank our guests, and we thank you for watching, everyone. And, Megan, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's always fun.
Thank you. It's a thank you group. All right, everybody. Thanks very much. Have a great week.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.